Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. In his first televised face-to-face interview in 6 weeks, President Trump said it's very bothersome that the man leading the probe into possible ties between his campaign and Russia is friends with the former FBI director James Comey. The president told Fox News Channel's Fox and Friends that special counsel Robert Mueller is a close friend of Comey's. Mr. Trump also disputed Comey's claim that he asked Comey for a vow of loyalty during a private meeting at the White House. The issue of whether Russia interfered in last year's U.S. presidential election and whether there was any collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia is the subject of several investigations that are underway. A series of close encounters this month over the Baltic Sea and the U.S. shooting down of Russian allies' aircraft in Syria have triggered concerns among defense analysts that any direct incident between the United States and Russia, even if it's accidental, could quickly spiral out of control. Here is White House spokesperson Sean Spicer.
We continue to have deconfliction with them in Syria. I think that's a positive thing. I think we enjoy normal diplomatic relations with them. And as the president has said numerous times, that if we can find areas of agreement with Russia, especially with respect to the fight against ISIS, safe zones in Syria, then we'll do it. But it's got to be on terms that are in the best interest, in our national interest.
At the White House, Sean Spicer. Two back-to-back bombs went off. It happened Friday in northwestern Pakistan, killing 25, wounding more than 100 others. There was no immediate claim of responsibility. This is VOA News. On the first anniversary of Britain's decision to leave the European Union, leaders from the bloc have ended a summit taking place in Brussels with questions about the residency rights of EU citizens who live in Britain once it exits the regional grouping. Addressing the group, the British Prime Minister Theresa May discussed the fate of the 3 million EU citizens who call Britain home.
I want to reassure all those EU citizens who are in the UK, who've made their lives and homes in the UK, that no one will have to leave. We won't be seeing families split apart. This is a fair and serious offer. And I want to give those EU citizens in the UK certainty about the future of their lives, but I also want to see that certainty given to UK citizens who are living in the European Union. Of course, there will be details of this arrangement, which will be part of the negotiation process, but we've made what I believe is a very serious, a very fair offer, which will give reassurance and confidence to EU citizens living in the United Kingdom about their future.
EU Council President Donald Tusk said his first impression is that the UK offer is below EU expectations and risks worsening the situation of citizens. Exit talks between Britain and the EU started Monday and must be concluded within 2 years. It was the first summit since Britain triggered Article 50 in March, the official notification to leave the EU. The Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights has condemned the destruction of the historic Al-Nuri Mosque by Islamic State militants in the battle-scarred Iraqi city of Mosul. Lisa Schlein has our report from the UN in Geneva.
The UN Human Rights Office says the destruction of the ancient monument is just the latest in a long list of atrocities perpetrated by Islamic State militants. The group has been responsible for the widespread destruction of religious sites, including churches, mosques, shrines, tombs, and graves in Iraq and Syria. Human rights spokeswoman Ravina Shamdasani calls the intentional destruction of the Al-Nuri Mosque an attack on the religious and cultural heritage of the Iraqi people and the world.
International humanitarian law clearly prohibits such attacks, and perpetrators who target these objects while being aware of their religious and historical character may be held accountable for war crimes.
In July 2012, Islamist rebels allied with Al-Qaeda in northern Mali destroyed a 15th-century mosque in Timbuktu. Shamdasani tells VOA it is believed IS, also known as ISIL, blew up the mosque to prevent the approach of Iraqi security forces. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And I'm Steve Norman in Washington. More news at voanews.com. You can keep up with what's going on around the world also by going to the VOA mobile app.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Les Davis welcoming you to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA1. The weather is warm in the Northern Hemisphere. That means it's Jazz Festival time. And I'm going to take you north of the U.S. border to the beautiful city of Montreal for the 38th edition of the Festival Internacional de Jazz de Montréal. Mon français c'est très mal, so I'll just keep it in English if you don't mind, and give you a preview of some of the wonderful performances that will be happening at what has been called by Pat Metheny, no less, the world's greatest jazz festival, with hundreds of musicians from all over the world gathering for 11 days in Montreal with wonderful live performances inside the beautiful venues near the city center, the Place des Arts, as well as free concerts all around the city center as well. It is just a wonderful gathering of music of many, many different styles. And much of it comes from Canadian artists. So to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America, we'll begin with Ladies First and Canadians First. Here's the great pianist and vocalist Diana Krall from her latest release, Turn Up the Quiet, and her version of the classic I'll See You in My Dreams, to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America.
Tonight I'll see you. This is Ingrid Jensen, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on the Voice of America.
The two talented sisters, originally from Vancouver, British Columbia in Canada, Christine Jensen on the saxophone, and her sister Ingrid Jensen on the trumpet, from their collaborative effort, their latest work together called Infinitude, and the song Old Time, sounding as they shall when they play together in a grand homecoming at the 38th edition of the Montreal Jazz Festival, begun all those years ago by Alain Simard and Andre Menard. And not long ago, I had a chance to have a conversation with these two grand gentlemen who've done such wonderful work in bringing the whole world together, musically and figuratively, every summer for all these years in Montreal. Here's some thoughts from them, and then more music from more of the artists performing at the 38th Montreal Jazz Festival here on VOA's Jazz America. I talked with them about the beginnings of the festival. The first idea for the festival came during the jazz fusion era of the 1970s, when young people were coming back to jazz.
It happened quite fast at the time, but he's right to mention jazz rock from the 70s, because it was the first time that young people would return to jazz, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then, I mean, filling big concert halls, so jazz was popular music again. And then around the start of the 80s, everything gelled into this multi-format music where traditionalists like Wynton Marsalis came to the scene, and then still we had, like I mentioned, Weather Report and guys like that. So it was like blossoming into this very large, encompassing musical genre where you could host all sorts of neighboring music as well. So as early as 1983, we had some reggae there and some African music as well, because music had become...
Marsalis.
Yeah, that's it.
We were the first to ever to feature
the first major festival to give him, you know, a top headline gig was Montreal. I had seen him open for Fats Domino and the Four Tops in New Orleans, and I said, man, he's so good, he's gonna be so big, la la la. But I mean, this was pure, you know, very light-hearted prophecy. But it only happened that with Wynton, it really, you know, it took off in a great way. So we're proud to have been part of this.
We even recorded that show. It was the first time ever
for TV.
It was recorded for TV,
And yes, there's so many videos of all those great performances down through the years, as well as audio recordings. The festival is just a phenomenon, but from the very beginning, from what you're telling me, I'm getting two things. First off, you both know your music, your jazz history very well, and second, you love it. And third, I'll say a third thing. From the very beginning, you had not just swinging straight ahead jazz. You brought it back with the Young Lions, with Wynton and all the others that followed him, and all of the classics. I mean, obviously, Montreal has a history with great artists like Leonard Cohen and Oscar Peterson, etc. But you've had a variety from the very beginning.
Well, even before the jazz festival began, we were already agent in Canada of Pat Metheny, of John Lee Hooker, of Jean-Luc Ponty.
Right.
We had promoted so many jazz concerts.
Oregon. Yeah. We did lots of concerts with Oregon.
Rap Donner. But we were doing Dave Brubeck, B.B. King.
Extensive tours of Quebec with bluesmen like John Lee Hooker, like you mentioned, and Sonny Thurber, Ronnie McGee. Like up to 20 dates around Quebec, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah, well, we were into sharing that music with our... with our friends, you know, with the citizens of our city.
Their first attempt at staging the festival came in 1979 when they brought in Keith Jarrett and Pat Metheny to perform. And then the next year it was officially the Montreal International Jazz Festival. And who should be on the very first bill but Ray Charles. Here's Ray Charles and his orchestra, recorded live in Zurich, Switzerland in 1961 with a song entitled Ghana on Jazz America from VOA 1. There always seem to be lots of all-star aggregations that come together to play at the Montreal Jazz Festival every year. And one of those all-star groups call themselves Hudson, based on the part of the world, the Hudson River Valley in New York, where they live. John Schofield on guitar, Jack DeJohnette, NEA Jazz Master on the drums, Larry Grenadier on bass, and John Medeski on keyboards from the new release Hudson. That's their jazzy version of Up on Cripple Creek, sounding as they shall when they play the Montreal Jazz Festival this year. More of the 38th edition coming up, but first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address. jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. JazzAmerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I've received recently, which reads as follows. I am Victor Onyebuchi from Nigeria. Please, can you send me your playlist for Jazz America? And he gave me specific dates. He wanted to have the playlist sent to him. And I wrote him back to say, anytime he wants to see the playlist or listen to the program, which I post on my own personal website for Modern Jazz Radio, Moja Radio, I gave him the link to which he could listen to the program and see the playlist anytime he wants to. And if you'll send me your email, I'll be happy to forward that link to you at my Moja Radio website, where you can click on the VOA logo and you'll be taken right to that page. Now, speaking of Nigeria, I've oftentimes said in the many years I've gone to the Montreal Jazz Festival, I think this is my 15th year in a row, that it's like traveling the world while staying in just one place, because Andre Menard and Alain Simard bring the whole world of musicians to Montreal for the festival each year. This year, they're bringing the legendary Nigerian drummer who worked with Fela Kuti, as you may know, Tony Allen. Here's Tony Allen from his latest release, a salute to Art Blakey, with a song entitled Drum Thunder Suite, to begin this set of music on VOA's Jazz America.
knocking at the door. Someone's ringing the bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's ringing the bell. Do me a favor, open the door. Let them in. Let them on in. Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's ringing the bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's ringing the bell. Do me a favor, open the door. Let them on in. Sister Susie, Brother John, Martin Luther, Phil and Don, Uncle Ernie, Auntie Jim, open the door. Let them in. Yeah. Oh.
I've noticed over my years in jazz radio and attending festivals all over the world that quite often a festival might have one artist as quote-unquote artist-in-residence playing in multiple performances. Well, a feature of each and every Montreal Jazz Festival is that there are a number of artists-in-residence, artists that perform in more than one setting night after night after night, and that's the case with the artist you just heard from. The great guitarist and vocalist John Pizzarelli, who'll be performing in three different concerts in Montreal this year, with Daniel Jobim doing the music of Frank Sinatra and Jobim, as well as John Pizzarelli with Catherine Russell doing the music of Frank Sinatra and Billie Holiday, and with his wife Jessica Molaski doing the music of Joni Mitchell and Paul McCartney. And from his album Midnight McCartney, that's his swing and jazzy version of Let 'Em In. John Pizzarelli, just one of the greats, playing at the 38th Jazz Festival in Montreal. Let's return to our conversation once again with the founders of the festival on VOA's Jazz America. It was a pleasure to have a conversation with André Menard and Alain Simard, the two friends who started the Montreal Jazz Festival so many decades ago. There are few cities in the world that have richer culture than Montreal, Quebec, and that is one of the lures of having a wonderful jazz festival, a world-class jazz festival, centered in this great place. A place that you can go to just to enjoy on its own, as well as going to enjoy the festival events in the summertime. When did Montreal become be known as the city of festivals?
Well, that was my idea.
It's a label, but I think it holds to its name. I mean,
since there's one at least every month.
Ourselves, we promote three major festivals that would draw over a million people and with budgets over $10 million. Mm. There's a French music festival called Les Francopholies, and we have a winter festival called the Montreal Highlight Festival. So plus there's the Jazz for Laughs and so many. Yeah. But Montreal is a nice city because people are really welcoming. There's no problems of there are no ghettos. There's no, so when you think of all those, you know, we have between 100,000 and 200,000 people per day attending the festival, and you know they can drink booze and wine on the street, and there's never a single fight.
No one gets arrested.
No.
How does that happen?
Well,
when you have your volunteers,
the spirit of the city.
Yes. Since the beginning, we wanted to create some kind of utopic village where the music would be the universal language, and we put on certain rules. Like there's no, we have sponsors because there, you know, most of the shows are free and paid by sponsors. Mm-hmm. But there's no product advertisement. There's a policy that makes people like forget normal social behaviors. They will speak and dance with people they don't know.
Indeed.
They'll, you know, it's like the music, it's a ceasefire and normal.
It usually provides a pickup line, like, do you like this? You know, so you already have a conversation.
So when you come, also, it's free. There's no solicitation. Nobody's begging for money or trying to sell you things. You know, the festival sells itself. So there's a communal philosophy in there that works very well. People in Montreal are proud of the festival. It became the most important touristic attraction in Montreal. So it draws economic windfall, $100 million per year.
And it is a beautiful place with the mountain up above and so much walking in the city and so many attractions in general.
And here's another of the current greats of jazz, Christian McBride, who'll be performing with his trio in this year's Montreal Jazz Festival with his bass alongside pianist and guitarist. Here's Car Wash from his trio recording, recorded live at the Village Vanguard in New York on Jazz America from VOA1. We'll be right back.
drum or something. Ben ain't had none in a minute. I know you want some. You got to get a little bit. Take as much as you want, baby. Go ahead, baby. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to the Village Vanguard for making this a wonderful week. And go get you a car wash.
Hi, this is Bill Frisell, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on The Voice of America.
Master Bill Frisell, preceded by Nicholas Payton, two more of the jazz greats playing at the 38th Montreal Jazz Festival. More of our preview of the festival next hour.